This is VSiN Primetime, betting the draft. Now here's your hosts, Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns.
We are off and running on a Wednesday evening draft night down at the Barclays Center in New York City, Brooklyn, New York, to be exact. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. The Dallas Mavericks will have the first pick. No much real surprise there. I think we're pretty confident in saying that'll be Cooper Flagg. Number two seems to have also no real controversy. At number three, maybe that's where things get interesting, Matt Eumanns. So we will see as the night unfolds, as draft coverage officially starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. That is when the Dallas Mavericks will officially be on the clock at the Barclays Center. But we've got some fascinating things potentially brewing there. Where does Ace Bailey fall? Is there a trade up with a team like Brooklyn, who has five first-round picks? No team, Matt, in the history of the NBA has made five picks in the first round.
And they might not make five tonight. Might trade a pick and move up, or trade a pick or two and move up. I love drafts, NFL draft, far and away number one. And Tim, I don't want to throw cold water on what we're doing here tonight, because you and I both love this type of draft. But you don't have 10% of the media hype and wagering action on the NBA draft that you have on the NFL.
No.
But we will we'll follow the top 10 picks pretty closely. There's a lot of interest in what's going to happen in the top 10. And there's going to be some movement in this first round tonight. So, and we do have props to bet. I have a couple bets. You've got a handful of bets on this draft tonight. So it's a great thing that we can follow. Even as a kid, I used to love to watch the NBA draft. The thing is, Tim, I think the attraction for the general public has lessened, because the guys being drafted, the players who are going, you just don't have that connection to them anymore, because most of these guys didn't play 3-4 years of college basketball, right? You got Cooper Flagg played 1 year at Duke, and he's your superstar in this draft. You have a lot more foreign players going, and, you know, typically it's a lot tougher for us even to evaluate and scout these European players. I watch a little film on these guys, but we don't get to see them play games like we do. We used to be able to evaluate the college basketball players for 2, 3, 4 years. And now if a guy's in college for 3 years, it's a negative. They don't want to draft him in the first round because he's too old. He's been in college too long. But I really think if you follow the betting market, you're getting a strong indication of how the top two or three picks are going to play out tonight.
Yeah, the betting market's been moving quite a bit. You know, just look at last night. We had Rob Doster on from the Field of 68. Then we had Luke Swain on, who does a great job at Vegas Refund following all drafts. And both of them were interested in Jeremiah Fears, the point guard out of Oklahoma. And right now, he has now become a minus 175 favorite to be a top five pick, man. Mm-hmm. He was plus 250 last night. So there's a lot of movement there with Jeremiah Fears, a guy that it seems like there's a lot of mixed thoughts on Jeremiah Fears. Sam Vecenie over at The Athletic ranks him as his 18th best prospect. But once again, when it comes to betting the draft versus analyzing the draft is two completely different things, right? For our pockets, I don't care if Jeremiah Fears falls out of, you know, is the worst player in the NBA. Who cares? Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out a way to bet that and make some money, as opposed to when we look at rookie of the year odds or, you know, how these teams will fit in their particular systems. That's a completely different discussion. But as for tonight, we're trying to figure out where these guys are ultimately going to land and how we can ultimately make money off
of it. I'll give you an example of what you just said there, Tim. I ranked the draft prospects this way. Number one, Cooper Flagg. Number two, Trey Johnson.
I love Trey Johnson.
And number three, Dylan Harper. Trey Johnson's a shooting guard from Texas, shot about 40% from three in his 1 year for the Longhorns. If I were picking two, I would take Trey Johnson. Now, the problem is when you look at the betting market, to be a top five pick, Trey Johnson's minus 110. To me, that should be an easy bet to make. But the more you follow the smoke signals out there, Tim, it looks like he might slip a little bit, because you got other guys, obviously Dylan Harper, Con Knipple, Jeremiah Fears, you just mentioned other players who might be on the rise. I would love to bet Trey Johnson minus 110, but that's my opinion.
Right.
He should be a top two or three pick. So I don't want to bet him top five because the indicators aren't showing that right now.
You know, it's funny, too, when you look at different betting markets and how it goes about it, right? When you talk about betting it into the top five, at least at a DraftKings and a FanDuel, those are one-way markets. So you might get them juiced a little bit. But what's interesting and what's been fascinating to me, Matt, when you look at a player like the French kid who was playing in the German league that got some negative publicity earlier this week when he left his team in the middle of the playoffs, Noah Essen guy. But the betting market went nuts on that. And we'll show you a graphic here in just a moment regarding how DraftKings and the public has been betting his over. But Matt, if you read the tea leaves, everything is pointing in the direction of Toronto really likes this kid. Right. And he had a private workout with the Toronto Raptors yesterday, landing here in North America. So once again, you get this bad publicity. This is a red flag. Not every team is thinking like us.
You know, let's rewind to the NFL draft a little bit here, Tim, because maybe you can learn a lesson, or maybe it means nothing. Who knows? But you recall before the NFL draft, there were reports out there Shedeur Sanders is having a private workout with, was it the Chiefs? No, it wasn't the Chiefs. Broncos. It was a team in the Midwest.
Trying to think.
And the Giants. The Giants actually flew out to Colorado. That's what it was. The Giants flew out to Colorado for a private workout with Shedeur Sanders. Even the New York media jumped all over this. Giants interested in Shedeur Sanders in the top five. They meant top five picks, not top five rounds. Because there were a lot of people misled by the Shedeur Sanders hype, and you're going to get misled by some hype here in the NFL, NBA draft as well. Similar to the NFL, there's going to be some misinformation out there. And as a bettor, you have to know which sources to trust. And you also have to be a little bit cautious. You can't be too naive when you're betting this.
Yeah, so
agents are going to put some things out there that aren't necessarily true.
So this is a pretty interesting nugget from Julian Edlow over at DraftKings regarding the French prospect Noah Essengai. Over 9.5 has taken 94% of the handle, 83% of the bets. It's the second most bet draft prop at DK Sportsbook. But what's also worth noting, Matt, is that market has moved from -115 for him to be a top 10 pick to now -$2 to be a top 10 pick. Now, Toronto is number 9, and ultimately he may not land there. Maybe he goes with the 10th overall pick, which is currently owned by the Phoenix Suns via trade of the Houston Rockets. But it's kind of interesting to see how the market has been moving here on Essengai, right?
That's information-based, because most people out there who are going to bet the draft or interested in the draft don't know anything about Noah Essengai.
Right.
So that's some information that's leaking from somebody who knows something. Hey, you want to jump on this? He's not going to go in the top 10.
Yeah. But we've seen the market move. So I'm fascinated to see how that ultimately plays out.
Exactly.
As I did end up betting at a little juicier price, Essengai to be the 9th overall pick last night, it was around 3-1.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Did you get any information? I know you have sources you talk to about the draft like I do. Did somebody tell you that he was going to be the 8th or 9th pick?
I just kind of put together some tea leaves. You saw the private workout, and we have a video. Johnny, do we have this video of Essengai, which I thought was kind of telling? This is Noah Essengai, Matt. Yesterday, when he was doing the media scrum, he was asked who he models his game after. Take a listen to the three players he pinpoints. Kind of interesting when you think about who owns the 9th overall pick.
I said a guy like Pascal Siakam, Scottie Barnes, Kawhi, kind of guy who can do really everything on the court, play defense, dribble, shooting.
Not great audio there.
A lot of crowd noise there in the background. But I heard him say Pascal Siakam.
Scottie Barnes, Kawhi Leonard, all played for the Toronto Raptors. Okay. Scottie Barnes still on the Toronto Raptors. So once again, maybe it's a shot in the dark, but also you look at all the mock drafts that are out there, whether it be, say, Jonathan Givony over at ESPN, and they all have him going number 9. So we'll see. One of the interesting kind of wrinkles how this all plays out. And Matt, as we've seen with the NFL draft, it can happen tonight in the NBA draft. One trade could blow everything up. And you look at the number 8 overall pick currently occupied by the Brooklyn Nets, as mentioned, maybe they trade up and they go get an Ace Bailey. Is Ace Bailey going to drop all the way to 6? We saw reports that he had a private workout with the Washington Wizards, who currently own the 6th pick. But from a talent standpoint, Ace Bailey, according to some, Matt, is believed to be maybe the 3rd or 4th best player in this draft.
Well, for a long time, the betting market said he was going to be the number 2 player in the draft. And like you said, I rank him number 1, Flag, number 2, Trey Johnson, number 3, Dylan Harper. I didn't have Ace Bailey in the top 3. I watch a lot of Big Ten, a ton of college basketball. I like him. He's a top 10 pick. I didn't think he was a top 3 pick. And it's been a very strange draft process for him. The operative word you used, where is Ace Bailey going to fall tonight?
Right.
He is going to fall in the draft, but how far is he going to fall? And he's going to stay somewhere in the top 10. I think once you get to pick number five, you're starting to think, this is value here in Ace Bailey, right? And you got to think of it sometimes in gambling terms too. When you're a GM or you're running a draft for a team, is there value in taking Con Knipple at number two or number three? I don't think so. But Ace Bailey, you start to slip to number five or number six. Hey, there's value in taking a guy like that that a lot of people thought was the number two pick in this draft at one point. Con Knipple's been another player who's been who's attracted a lot of action on the betting market in this draft.
Yeah, you look at his odds now. He is a massive favorite to be the fourth overall pick right now, Matt, as we sit less than an hour away from the start of the NBA draft. Con Knipple has moved out to a minus $8 favorite to be the number four pick, which is currently occupied by the Charlotte Hornets. A whole lot to get to as we get you ready for the NBA draft. This is VSiN Primetime betting the draft. On the other side of the break, we're going to catch up with former UMass head coach Matt McCall, now doing work with the Field of 68 and NBC. Later on in this hour, Johnny Avello will join us, Matt, to give us his thoughts. And in hour number two, NBA draft analyst Matt Babcock will jump on the program, and we will get his thoughts on how tonight could ultimately unfold. So a loaded show for you. And then Zach Cohen later on in the show to give us his analysis of how the draft has unfolded up to that point. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Primetime betting the draft. First pick expected in about 45 minutes or so. It'll be Cooper Flagg headed to the Dallas Mavericks. How will the rest of the board fall as the evening goes on? We'll talk to Matt McCall. We'll get his analysis on some of the top draft picks here tonight. He'll join us next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're tuned in to VSiN Primetime, betting the draft, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
NBA draft less than an hour away before the inevitable Cooper Flagg will hear his name announced as he will become a Dallas Maverick. After that, things can get pretty interesting. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray, but in addition to betting the draft, which we will continue to discuss and we'll go through our best bets and we'll take a look at the board and how it's moving, we're also going to analyze the draft and see how these fits ultimately make sense and get the thoughts of these players. And no one better to do that, Matt, than Matt McCall, who joins us right now courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line, an analyst for the Field of 68, also did work with NBC this year, and of course, former UMass head coach, was on the Florida staff for quite a bit. So, Coach, I want to start with Cooper Flagg. Obviously, we know he's going to Dallas. He is going to be the betting favorite to win Rookie of the Year. What are your expectations of Cooper Flagg year one down in Dallas?
You know what, fellas? I said this on the Field of 68 one time, and Tyler Hansborough, a diehard, obviously, North Carolina Tar Heel, got really, really upset with me. He got really mad at me because I called him a nine-time NBA All-Star. I did that.
Okay.
And I just think with his character, his substance, the things that he brings to the table, the fact that he got hurt the way that he did, and we see so many guys, you know, get hurt and opt out and not play, and with the money that was on the line when he got hurt in the ACC tournament, to see him even play in the first round game, you know, against Mount St. Mary's and go out there and compete shows you about his character. So in terms of that, I just think he has all the intangibles. And I'll also say this, and I know there was a lot of people giving, you know, the Dallas Mavericks heat for what happened, you know, with the trade with Doncic to send him out to LA. I do think he's going into an environment where there are some veterans, there's some guys that are going to be around him. And I think that's the biggest key. I said this on SiriusXM today on Off Campus, that if you have some guys that are around, you know, these young guys coming in, that can help them, that they can help these guys grow, that they can help them develop, it's going to make the transition easier for them. You know, Wembanyama going to the Spurs with the culture that's been created there made it a little bit easier on his transition. So I think the Dallas situation for Cooper Flagg is only going to help him. And I do think this, and Tyler Hansborough got mad at me, I think he's going to be a nine-time NBA All-Star. I think he has that much substance.
Don't disagree with that. Matt, how about the number two pick? If you're picking number two, let's throw out need. Who do you think is the second best player in this draft?
Well, I know Dylan Harper is the guy that everybody's talking about. You know, I said this earlier today. I just the price tag on winning, and I put an impact on that. And you have Ace Bailey, you have Dylan Harper, and those guys didn't even make their conference tournament. Mm-hmm. If I'm picking somebody, I would be concerned. And I know that, you know, Anthony Edwards didn't win a ton of games at the University of Georgia. Like, I get it. But I just think the price tag on winning, that's my only concern, you know, with taking Harper or Ace Bailey high in this draft. It's what was going on in that locker room? What were the issues? What was the chemistry like? Why was there a problem where that team didn't even make their conference tournament?
I know.
So that one to me is a head scratcher. I know how talented Dylan Harper is, but I'm just sitting there going, man, you know, what happened there? I love Edgecombe from Baylor. I love the athleticism that he can bring to the table. You know, Colin Knipple, I mean, that, you know, that Duke team won, and they won with a lot of young guys that were within that program. When in a day and age where everyone's attacking the transfer portal, that Duke team was a possession away from playing for a national championship. So I'm really anxious to see that second pick in this draft. But I always try to put a price tag on winning, fellas.
You bring up Duke. I still can't believe Duke blew that lead to Houston in the Final Four. It's hard to believe.
It was not great. It was not great.
You know, just to backtrack on Tim's question about Cooper Flagg, we were talking about this weekend. It's been debated. Should the Mavericks consider trading Flagg if you want to acquire someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo, you trade for the Greek Freak? I said no way. What would your stance be there? Because at Mavericks with the number one pick have options. Would you not listen to anyone? Would you just sit pat and take Cooper Flagg?
I'm taking Cooper Flagg. Yeah. I'm not passing him to anybody. I understand that, you know, you want to win now. I totally get that. But that guy to me is a bona fide superstar in that league. The way that he handled himself with all the expectations that were on him this year at Duke, never made excuses, went out there and performed. You could see him celebrate his teammate's success. I'm taking that guy. If you have the number one pick, I wouldn't even trade it. I'm taking him. Leaving school was hard for him. Look, I watched Brad Beal, you know, who was the number three pick in the 2012 draft. Like, it was leaving school was hard for him. And it took Billy Donovan telling him, hey, man, like, you're not going below three. You got to go. And you could see Cooper Flagg going back and forth on his decision. On the morning after, Sunday morning after they lost that heartbreaker in the Final Four, I'm doing SiriusXM for Channel 84 at the Naismith Awards. And I'm saying to myself, there's no way this guy shows up after how they lost that game. And he showed up. Not only did he show up, he spoke, he took his award. And there's a lot of guys that would have not done that. And he did it. Which just he gained my respect in that situation. I'm not passing him up. I think he's a bona fide superstar that will make a lot of NBA All-Star games. And I think at some point in his career, he'll win an NBA title.
Matt McCall, longtime college basketball coach, most recently at UMass, on the Florida staff for many, many years as well. Now doing work with the Field of 68 and NBC as well. Coach, as we look a little bit further down, as today unfolds, whether it be in the teens or, you know, back end of the top 10, who are a couple players that you're really excited based off of what we saw in college to see where they fit and you expect them to be immediate impact players?
I'm not trying to be a Gator homer, but what Walter Clayton did in that NCAA tournament, what he did for the University of Florida and win a national championship, I know there's some questions about can he guard, how is he going to defend, you know, at that level in the NBA, but that guy just won a national championship. And I told you earlier that I put a price tag on winning. I just see him, whoever takes him, and he got an invite to the green room. But whoever takes him is going to get a guy that can come in and immediately make an impact because of his ability to make shots. You know, Danny Wolf from Michigan, he's another one. And you see, you know, you saw Michigan, you know, win, you know, a Big Ten tournament title. And that point forward for him, everyone's like, is he a five? Is he a four? Who is he guarding in the NBA? But man, can he pass? Can he pass for the position? He sets his teammates up. You can play him in ball screens at his size. I mean, those are two guys right now that I'm looking at. Okay, who takes them? Because I think those are two players in the first round that are going to come in and have an immediate impact on whatever franchise takes them.
You know, I was going to ask you about Walter Clayton because of your Florida background and your years in that program. I look at Oklahoma City and say, what's the weakness? It's three-point shooting. You got to find shooters. Walter Clayton shot, I think, 38.5% from three for the Gators last season. OKC has the 15th and the 24th picks in the first round of this draft. Which shooters do you think the Thunder should go after, and do you think Walter Clayton fits with the Thunder?
I mean, how do they still have more first-round draft picks?
I know.
I mean, what has Sam Presti has created this, where they just won an NBA title and they still have first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
I love Clayton there. I really do. I think it's a culture and an environment. Mark Dagnall's a close friend of mine. Always been rooting for him and rooting for his success ever since he was a GA at the University of Florida when I was there. I think he fits there. I think Coach Dagnall and what the culture that Sam Presti has created would really help Walter Clayton's development, much like it has Shea. I mean, you look at a guy that got traded there and is now the best player in the NBA. So I love the fit for him being able to go Walter Clayton to Oklahoma City. I think it's a good fit. I think it's a good fit on both sides, and I think he's only going to flourish, you know, within that organization.
Don't worry. Oklahoma City also, I think, has five first-round picks next year. So don't worry. Don't worry. I think Sam Presti.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I think they're going to be okay. Hey, Coach, always appreciate it. Enjoy the draft tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on.
There he is. Matt McCall doing work with the Field of 68, SiriusXM's College Station, as well as NBC Sports. Yeah, it's interesting, Matt. You saw earlier this week, Walter Clayton, two workouts with the Miami Heat and then shut it down. Was there a promise made that maybe he would be the 20th overall pick to the Miami Heat? Or could you see someone taking him before number 20?
That's what I said. OKC's got pick 15 and pick 24. I wouldn't be surprised if OKC took Walter Clayton at number 15.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Sam Presti get a little aggressive, maybe move up, try to get, if Trey Johnson is falling, wouldn't that be quite the fit there in Oklahoma City? Hey, folks, want to bet smarter this football season? VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out Tuesday, July 1st, and our football special, just $175 for full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl.
You're tuned in to VSiN Primetime, betting the draft, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good stuff from Matt McCall, giving us his thoughts and analysis on the NBA draft, what he expects from some of the top prospects, and Walter Clayton Jr. Yes, certainly an interesting one. Mm-hmm. And could the Oklahoma City Thunder take him at 15? OKC, one of the more intriguing teams, Matt, I think, tonight when it comes to the NBA draft. What do they do with their two first-round picks? Three picks in total, as well as a treasure trove of picks next year. So does Sam Presti get aggressive to try to go up and maybe get a key contributor right away? One movement, we're going to get to some baseball here in just a moment, but I wanted to point this out, Matt. There was a report earlier today about the New Orleans Pelicans. They occupy the seventh pick in the NBA draft, Matt, and there is a lot of steam on their interest in Maryland's Derek Queen. There is a relationship with Derek Queen and Troy Weaver, the president of basketball operations. They're both from the D.C. Baltimore area. Troy Weaver's son is on the Maryland coaching staff. And if you look at the betting market right now, Derek Queen to be the seventh overall pick is now down to plus 145 at DraftKings and even shorter at FanDuel at plus 125. So a lot of the mocks you see is Malawach, the center out of Duke, going seven to New Orleans. But the betting market right now, based off, I think, of this Jonathan Givony report, is that the Pelicans could go with Maryland center Derek Queen.
If the betting is still open on this draft, you got to follow reporters like that because they're getting good information about where these guys are going to go. And who knows who's the better fit for the Pelicans. I'll say this, Derek Queen, after watching him in Maryland, he's a winner. He's going to help you win games in the NBA. Malawach, he's got all the size, he's got the size, the wingspan. But Tim, he a little bit underwhelming in his first year at Duke. He didn't make the impact I thought he was going to make. And that's why if I was always draft guys who were going to play hard and do things to help you win. And I think Derek Queen's one of those guys. He should be a top 10 pick in this draft.
Yeah, Derek Queen, 6'9", without his shoes on. He can shoot. He can spread you out a little bit.
The good thing is you get to play with your shoes on, so he's going to be even taller.
That is a positive. That is sources tell us that you do get to play with your shoes on. So we will see, and we'll keep you updated on the draft. But I do want to pivot just real quickly and get you updated on the baseball action going on. Matt, in Cincinnati, last night we saw the Reds come back from 3 down after a tremendous performance.
Bittersweet game for me. I had the over 9.5. It ended 5-4 in extra innings. But I also had the Reds. Had the Reds at plus 158 last night. Nice win for the Reds. And Chase Burns, what a debut for the number 2 pick in last year's draft. Chase Burns came in and blew away the Yankees right off the bat. They did fall behind 3-0 in the later innings, but first two innings, about as impressive as it gets, Tim. And he blew away Aaron Judge in the first inning. He said, okay, this kid's not going to be too nervous to handle this moment tonight. Reds came back to win that game 5-4 after falling down 3-0. Unfortunately, it stayed under the total. Yankees offense just a little bit troubling. And here we're watching the Yankees got runners on first and second, no outs. You get a ground ball in the infield, and I'm not sure if to get the out at second base, but Yankees too often, Tim, sit back and wait for the 3-run homer or the 2-run homer instead of running the base pass, generating runs, getting action on the bases. And we'll see what they can do tonight. But the Yankees have a big price tag carried on tonight's game. Max Fried, anytime he goes, is going to be a big favorite. At closing time here at Circa, Max Fried and the Yankees minus 210 to salvage a game here in Cincinnati after losing the first two. And it looks like the Yankees have bases loaded here with no outs. Reds misplayed that infield ball. Let's see, infield grounder. I think he threw
bases
the ball.
Loaded.
He threw the ball to second base and didn't get the runner. So we got bases loaded for DJ LeMahieu with no outs here in the second. Yankees threatening to bust this game open here.
The Yankees games have gone under 13 straight games. And
That's crazy. I saw that last night.
We'll see if it continues here tonight. 9 is the total as the Yankees trying to bust things open.
So here's how a bases loaded, no out situation affects the live line. Yankees were minus 210. When the game started, they have bases loaded. Again, no outs, 1-2 count. The live number at DraftKings is minus 360.
Wow. Yeah, we saw it last night too, Matt, when we headed.
This is probably why you assume they're going to get 2 runs here, right? You would think.
When we went to the bottom of the 10th inning, now the Reds ultimately won in 11, but I was talking to Will Hill last
DJ
night.
DJ LeMahieu strikes out.
And the Reds went to like a minus $4 favorite after the Yankees didn't score in the top of the 10th. Reds didn't score in the bottom of the 10th. Ultimately, as you pointed out, though, the Reds did get the walk-off win there in 11 innings. So still to come tonight, Matt, we have a good one between the Cubs and the Cardinals. High-scoring affair last night as the Cardinals got the win. And right now, Eric Fetty, he's at home. He's getting bet against here. The Vegas native and St. Louis is around a plus 132 dog here at Circa, as high as plus 137 in the betting market. It was a matter of kicking ourselves last night, me and Will Hill, because in the second inning when the Colorado Rockies, Matt, took a 2-0 lead, the Dodgers were the underdog. And lo and behold, guess what happened? The Dodgers won and comfortably.
9-7. And I think they took, after falling behind 2-0, Dodgers went about 7-2 or so. Blew the game open. And that's a great spot to look for on live betting because at Coors Field, a 2-run lead against the Dodgers, that's nothing.
How about Logan Webb? He's on the hill tonight, Matt. A 9:45 Eastern first pitch out there in the Bay. I got the opportunity to see Logan Webb up close and personal. About as consistent as you get out there in San Francisco. And the price tag is hefty, around minus 220. the Giants tonight against the Miami Marlins with Logan Webb on the hill. Zach Wheeler takes the hill for Philadelphia tonight. 8:10 first pitch down there in Houston. And the Phillies, a minus 152 favorite against the Houston Astros. A pretty fun day, Matt, across baseball with pitching. And we saw it earlier today. How about the performance? You know, you see last night with the Reds phenom and Burns, and then here tonight you get Mizorowski or earlier today, and he goes five scoreless as he has now gone 16 innings so far with allowing just two runs for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Cheap price on Mizorowski today too, and you're not going to find that too often, but he's going head-to-head with Skeens, and there was some great opportunities in that game, Tim, to play under and to bet on Mizorowski. Yankees get a strikeout here. After a single by Trent Grisham, they hold the runner at third. Oh, that's a terrible at-bat by Aaron Judge. Wow. How about that? Cal Raleigh getting some support in the MVP race. Bases loaded, two outs. Well, Mayhew and Judge each strikeout. Yankees had a chance for a huge inning here, and the Reds have done a nice job of limiting the damage. Money line now is Yankees minus 340 with the 1-0 lead. Got Ben Rice at the plate, and you got bases low with no outs. You got to capitalize on that. Speaking of Logan Webb, I really wanted to bet Webb tonight. Giants lost 4-2 to the Marlins last night. You talk about home road splits for pitchers. Logan Webb lights out when he's pitching in San Francisco. 4-1 ERA at home of 1.35 with 57 strikeouts in 53 innings. He's allowed only two homers in those 53 innings. Only seven walks and 57 strikeouts, Tim. This is a guy you have to bet when he starts at home, but obviously the price is jacked up tonight against the Marlins.
Yeah, so we will keep you posted as much as possible all throughout the evening here. By the way, Will Hill talked about on, I think it was Sunday night or Saturday night when the news came out, Matt, that Chase Burns would be promoted to Cincinnati. He grabbed a 100-1 ticket. There was a point last night where he was as low as 3-1. To win NL Rookie of the Year. After the Mizorowski start today, Mizorowski moves to a $1.25 favorite to win NL Rookie of the Year, and Chase Burns moves back to plus 850. He was tremendous, though, in that first start of his Major League career. NBA draft, of course, tonight. We're going to keep you updated on that. We're going to get it rolling here top of the hour as Cooper Flagg obviously expected to go number one. He's a minus 20,000 favorite to go number one at DraftKings. Number two overall pick at DraftKings, Dylan Harper now a minus 8,000 favorite. And then VJ Edgecombe, Matt, the number keeps on ticking up. It seems more and more likely that VJ Edgecombe will be the selection at three by the Philadelphia 76ers. That number now minus 900 there.
Not crazy about it myself.
Yeah. And then...
what do you think? Sixers picking at three? I don't know how...
I wanted them to trade out, but...
I don't know how you pass on Trey Johnson in that spot. I like VJ Edgecombe too, but... I don't know how you pass on Trey Johnson.
And just to update you on this, how about number four overall pick currently owned by the Charlotte Hornets? All the steam seemed to be on the Hornets selecting Con Knipple. It is now minus 550. So does it stay status quo, or do we get a curveball at some point here in the evening?
There's always a curveball. You just don't know when it's going to show up. Always a curveball, Tim, in the draft. I remember I'll talk about later when I covered the draft in 2013. About a major curveball that was thrown early in that draft. By the way, the Yankees had three strikeouts after getting the bases loaded with no outs. DJ LeMahieu went down. Aaron Judge went down, and Ben Rice went down on strikes. But the Yankees did get a Trent Grisham single, 1-0 there in the middle of the second.
Hey folks, EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earns cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today, edgeboost.bet, the promo code PRIME. Once again, edgeboost.bet. Johnny Avello, the latest from behind the counter, next.
You're tuned in to VSiN Primetime, betting the draft, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We keep it rolling here. We are about 15 minutes away from the start of the NBA draft, and we will be here to document it all for you. We'll be sweating out our bets. We'll keep an update on the betting market, which, as of right now, Matt, still up if you are in a state that allows you to bet it at DraftKings. And a gentleman who knows a thing or two about DraftKings, the guy who runs the joint, Johnny Avello joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Johnny, as we look at this market, before we get to the specifics, how has the betting handle been for you guys on the NBA draft, and how would you compare it to the NFL draft?
I wouldn't compare it. How's it been? It's been okay. I think it'll be better than last year, but don't ever confuse the two, guys.
Why do you think it'll be better than last year?
Because we're putting up more things.
Okay.
You know, and it's growing, okay? It's the NBA draft is growing, and so is the NFL draft. The problem is that this is light years behind the NFL draft. This just isn't marketed that way. It's not that type of an event. So, you know, people are home tonight, whereas for the NFL draft, people are going to a place and they're all going to gather together and it's going to be a big night. That's just not the way this one works.
Johnny, as a bookmaker, what do you have to do here with betting limits on the NBA draft on these props? Obviously, an information-based event, there's going to be some inside info that leaks out there, and you're going to get hit on some of these props. So how do you deal with that with your betting limits?
You know, we have the limits. You know, we move accordingly. Of course, there are some of our bigger players get a little bit more than that. And so we deal to it exactly the way we would deal to the NFL draft. It's just we don't have anywhere near the volume, so that if there's going to be one side gets snowballed for the whole night, you know, it could make the night or break the night.
When we're talking about no comparison and how the NFL draft really dwarfs the NBA draft in terms of wagering handle, what would you say this is? Is it 5-10% of what you see on the NFL draft? What is it?
Yeah, that's probably it. I think you're hitting it pretty close. Yes.
Johnny, when we look at the specifics of the drafting and the draft odds that you've got up, we've seen a lot of movement today. Once again, a lot of it's going to be based off of mock drafts that are out there. So, you know, right now at DraftKings, Cooper Flagg -20,000 to go one, Dylan Harper -8,000 to go two. The one I want to ask you about is VJ Edgecombe, the guard out of Baylor. He is now -900 to be the third overall pick. How much movement have you guys seen today on that number three market?
Yeah, that one's been hit pretty good. You know, we move aggressively on these numbers. On these, once that information's coming in, some money starts coming in, we're pretty aggressive. So that certainly has been a play today.
And then you look at number four, Con Knipl, now -550. And then the one that is pretty fascinating to me is Jeremiah Fears. Last night, he was around +250 to be a top five pick. And now he sits as a -175 favorite to be the fifth overall selection, a selection currently occupied by the Utah Jazz. So once again, is that another movement that you guys kind of went with based off of the information that is out there? Or were you guys getting hit on Fears to be a top five pick and to be the fifth overall selection?
No, we're in pretty good shape. I'll tell you, we're on the fourth pick, fifth pick, seventh, ninth, tenth, even the first pick, we're in pretty good shape. You know, there are some out there, they've taken some cracks at Bailey or Harper to go one. So I think we're safe there. You never know. You know, Knipl in the second spot. So there has been some shots in some other areas. Kaman Malwatts in the sixth, that's one. Bailey in the eighth, that's one where we have some hazards. I think we're in pretty good shape on the picks. Who's going to go in these slots, you know, 1-10? I think we're in okay shape on those, even though we've taken some play today, but we've made some good decisions early.
What time do you shut these props down? Or are you going to keep live numbers up throughout the first round?
We're going to shut. Well, this would be a little bit different than the draft, you know, the NFL draft. We'll do some stuff, but we're not going to be anywhere near aggressive with this.
Johnny, when you look at your over-unders, you've got a bunch of over-unders out there, guys that look like they probably won't be top 10 picks. The one that I thought was interesting, and I know Julian Edlow over at DK had mentioned it, the French kid Noah Essen guy, and a lot of betting action on his over. We saw that number get pretty high earlier this week. It looks like a little bit of movement back down toward the under. So how are you guys shaping up in that over-under betting market?
That one did take a little bit of action. We're okay. Danny Wolf in the top 10 got bet under 19 and a half. They liked him. They liked Derek Queen under 10 and a half. As you can see, he's minus 250. So that one certainly took some money. They also bet him in the top five, and they also bet him to go to New Orleans with the seventh pick. And you can see that seventh pick is he's plus 145. Joan Berenger, 14th or 15th. That's where they like him. So they took both spots. At 14th, he's and you know he's the other French kid that we didn't mention. He's plus $4 and he's plus $6 at 15. So they bet both of them. So if he hits either one of those, they'll make money. Carter Bryant under 10 and a half. That took some money today. The kid at Arizona, that's minus 140. Some other first round picks that they took, Noah Penza, you know, top first round pick and, you know, top 30 minus $5. That took some money probably this week. And then Drake Powell, minus $4 to go in that first round. So that's some of the play that I've seen, you know, today and over the last few days.
DraftKings has a pretty impressive menu on this NBA draft. I've been looking at it here the last week or so, and a lot of stuff up there, Johnny. I like it. Actually, Ryan Kalkbrenner, a center from Creighton, I bet, to be a first-round pick of minus 115. I see DraftKings has moved to minus 185 on that. So you've got a prop up there on players to be drafted in the first round. A lot of the guys who are projected to be fringe first-rounders or second-round picks. Are you surprised or not surprised at all that the Vegas books are treating this as a non-event? It's hard to find props on the NBA draft in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I don't think that they're really that interested in the NFL draft. So Right. Why would they be interested in this one? Yeah, this one's a little bit more difficult than the NFL. I think we at DraftKings, I think we've got a pretty good handle on that NFL draft we have had at least over the last few years. This one, I wouldn't feel as confident. I mean, I feel we're okay and we're getting better, but I don't have the confidence level that I did for the NFL.
Well, you were on vacation in Italy. Were you able to enjoy yourself, or were you distracted the whole time thinking about the NBA draft when you got home?
I was over there recruiting players like Saul Niang and David Torresani. I mean, what do you think I was doing?
Johnny's over there sipping a glass of wine, and he's thinking about, man, is Thomas Sorber going to go 16th? Oh, man, we're going to be crushed on that there from Georgetown.
He's ignoring his wife at dinner, and he's drawing up some props to put up on the NBA draft. I know how it goes.
Hey, Johnny, appreciate it as always, and best of luck with the draft tonight.
Thank you, bunch of guys. See you later.
Yeah, there is. I will say this, you know, as you mentioned, there are a ton of offerings out there. If you're in a state that allows you to bet it, they're all still up, too. So we will see how it all plays out, Matt. And once again, the expectation is for Cooper Flagg to be the number one pick. So if you have, you know, 20 grand laying around, you can go make a quick $100 if you put down 20 grand to win 100.
OK.
Yeah.
Tim, go ahead and place that bet for us.
All right. We'll put it in.
I got one thing to throw up here. Do we have the photo of Trey Johnson? I feel bad because I've really been hyping up Trey Johnson.
He's your guy from Texas.
Trey Johnson, shooting guard from Texas, played 1 year for the Longhorns, shot about 40% from three. But we have a photo here courtesy of John Fanta, a Field of 68 in Fox Sports. He put this up of Trey Johnson showing up at the draft. You can see him on TV right now. We don't have the photo yet. We'll try to put it up later. Look at his outfit. He's walking up on stage right now. He's wearing a suit, but the pants come down to the knee. The pants only come down to the knee, and he's got white tube socks on. And Tim, That's you got to deduct a couple points from his power rating after you see that.
Does that hurt his chance to go top five?
I do not like to see that.
Oh man, the draft is just about to get underway. They're introducing all of the folks attending the draft right now. They're at the Barclays Center as Liam McNeely, looking very professional. He's got pants on, man.
He does.
That's good for your bet.
That's my bet. Yeah. Liam McNeely under 21.5. Ryan Kalkbrenner, first round pick.